Them Podcast with Landon McCool.
How about them Cowboys indeed?
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the How About Them Podcast. I am your host, Landon McCool, and we're going to do a little review of the Indianapolis Colts game. Talk about exactly what went on, what was good, what was bad. There's been a ton of review of the game so far already. So I'm just going to kind of give you some of the extra notes that I have, and obviously kind of folds in with some of my larger notes about the training camp, about how these players are progressing through the offseason. So it's going to be kind of a catching us up to where these players are, as opposed to just focus solely on what they did in the Colts game. So we're going to do the offense first, and then we will do the defense. So let's get started.
Wide 80! Wide 80! Kill, kill, kill!
Okay, so obviously, especially if you were watching early, there's a lot to say positive about the way the offense played in this game. There's kind of storylines all over the place just because everyone kind of performed at a high level. And, I think a lot of people are going to say to take this with a grain of salt because it was the Colts. And that is absolutely 100% true. But at the same time, I guarantee you those same people would have no problem criticizing the Cowboys, if they struggled against them. So and holding them even further in criticism because of they played the Colts. So they did what they had to do, or they did what they should have done against a lesser team. So I think they should get some credit for that. I think, the first thing that kind of stood out immediately in the game is Dak. Dez obviously looks fantastic. And I could have told you before the game even started that connection between those two is already significantly better than it was at any point, it seems like, last year. I mean, they really took the time in the offseason to get on the same page. And if you remember, they didn't really get very much time in training camp to work with each other. Dez got hurt pretty early on, or just kind of, was dealing with, injuries, and then kind of eventually did get hurt later on and then came back. And, so there was just, there's just been like a lot of kind of periods of Dak and Dez kind of not exactly having time to kind of fully develop the chemistry during the season last year. So it was great for them to get the offseason to be able to kind of develop that together. That they've had this entire preseason and an entire the entire OTAs, the entire training camp, to kind of continue to develop that relationship. And I think it's an important one. And I think a big part of Dak's development is tied to Dez, in that I think the one thing that as an evaluator of the player, Dak, the one thing that I thought that he really needed to get in his tool belt in order to be take his game to an even further level than where he showed us in his rookie year is continued his development as a passer in the middle of the field. And I think this is where Dez, like I said, really kind of feeds into this. I think that Dez is one of the better players to get the ball on the move and really, kind of allow him to run through defensive secondaries. I think for a lot of people that the Jacksonville game in London comes to mind when he ran through their entire secondary. And I think that where Dak has, been not exploited, but the area where teams have tried to really get Dak to focus on in order to kind of slow him down is to force him to throw the ball in the middle of the field, because he didn't look 100% comfortable last year doing it, stepping into the pocket and delivering a ball with authority over the middle of the field. There's a lot of traffic, there's tighter windows, but this this whole training camp, this offseason, they've done a lot of dig routes, a lot of slants to Dez, and he's looked basically unstoppable, and that connection has looked fantastic. So I'm expecting huge things for that, and I'm really, really excited to see exactly what we get out of that relationship this year, and the fruit of the labor that they put in this offseason to work together. Another thing that kind of really stood out to me in the run game specifically, we saw lots of success across the board there. But, you know, the sync between the offensive line and the tight end in the run game, it really looked like it was in midseason form. And I think a lot of what was missed, and not, I guess it really wasn't missed because Zeke had such an outstanding season, but I think that, you know, now that we may be looking at a period of time without Zeke, it's really, really great that they've got a healthy, seemingly healthy Swaim and seemingly healthy Hannah back, because those two are just fantastic two-way players, and Hannah specifically is just such a valuable blocker and so valuable specifically in the run game, that I really think it's going to make a huge difference in how well this team is able to run the ball even without Zeke. And when Zeke gets back, I can't wait to see. You know, we never really got a chance to see Zeke with James Hannah. Not that James Hannah is, you know, it's not that James Hannah's Dez Bryant. I mean, not that he makes that much of a difference, but I really do think that it's just another thing that you can add to this running attack to make it even more dangerous. And speaking of running attack, I think the next thing we have to definitely talk about is how insanely deep this team is at running back. I think that they're going to have problems at cut down because of the suspension and needing to keep an extra running back. They were going to have issues anyways just because they have such talent there. I really do think they love Darren McFadden more than I do. I definitely see the value in McFadden, but he, to me, is the third in this list of guys. Alfred Morris continues to show that he's taken his game to a different level than it was last year. He looks rejuvenated, quick, athletic. He's, you know, it's crazy because it feels like that Colts game, he kind of flipped the script a little bit on everybody, and he was the one that looked proficient in catching the ball and picking up blitzes, and McFadden was the one who didn't look as great there. So I really am a Morris fan. I'm hoping that he will actually get an opportunity to, you know, get some of those first team carries as we get further along. And Rod Smith, I mean, look, I just don't know. I'm just not sure how they don't give him some carries. I mean, he's just shown so much in the preseason that, I mean, I don't even question whether he's going to be on the 53. I think he's going to be on the 53, and even when Zeke gets back, that they'll give him touches one way or another, because I think he can be valuable in ways more than just as a running back. I mean, he obviously has special teams, but I think you could get him snaps as an H-back or some other ways to get him the ball. I just think he's, you know, it's the kind of guy that I kind of like to see just get maybe one or two extra touches, and maybe as a running back too, because I just think that he has some ability that is kind of untapped a little bit, and I really love, you know, what he can do, you know, as a what he can do for your roster as a team builder. I mean, just because of how versatile he is, he's really going to be a valuable piece for this team. He has such fantastic pad level for someone his height, and it really kind of helps him be that sort of physical finisher that I think this team is kind of needed. I mean, I think McFadden is probably the closest thing after Zeke, but I think that Smith could even be better than he is just because of the way he runs and because of the physical nature of his body and because of his pad level. He really could be that guy. I really think it just kind of finish up on the offense. I really think that offensive line wise. Real quick, of course, I have to talk about Cooper Rush. He looked obviously fantastic. I think that's been beat to death. I think the stories about him getting, you know, QB2 reps have been talked about quite a bit. You know, I think if you guys have been following me, I have been a believer that Cooper Rush could be a backup quarterback as soon as his rookie year. I mean, since the Cowboys signed him and I actually got an opportunity to watch him, I think that he comes in as a finished product. I mean, he's a fully formed product, and I just don't know. I mean, really, all you need to be, all he's missing to be a backup quarterback in the NFL is experience, I think. And he doesn't have that yet. So the question is, are you willing to roll the dice on this guy and then maybe just carry him and Dak and keep only two quarterbacks and see how it works out? Or do you just not feel like you can risk that and you keep, you know, three quarterbacks or cut Cooper? I mean, that's kind of where they are now. So I tend to think that it's, I tend to believe that it's a gamble to have Kellen Moore as your backup. So why not just take that little bit more of a gamble to have Cooper Rush as your backup? And also with the upside of whatever Cooper Rush can develop into. I think Cooper Rush can develop into a better backup quarterback, obviously, than Kellen Moore. And I think he may be, he could possibly be that now, but we won't really know until we get an opportunity to fully see him out there. So finishing up with the offense, I thought that the offensive line had a couple people that we needed to mention. Chaz Green, I thought, looked well. I know he had two penalties, but I think you can't really, I think it's tough to call. I mean, you have to call it, but I think it's tough to blame these guys for some of these, you know, chop block blocking penalties when, you know, it's all about kind of, you know, passing guys off, and there's a lot of chemistry involved in executing a wide zone with a partner to your left or to your right that, you know, you're not doing with that same movement every single day, practicing it over and over again. You know, these guys are all getting moved around, so nuanced stuff like that, like properly passing a guy off in the wide zone between two guys who may not have played with each other in that position like that. I think that that's something I'm going to let slide, especially considering the rest of the game he had. He looked really good otherwise, and he played in a couple different spots. So I thought Cooper had his best night of basically, you know, that was the best I've seen Cooper throughout camp and through the preseason. So I am definitely encouraged by that because, you know, he's kind of our baseline of where, you know, the fallback point is at this point. So, I think that if Green doesn't work out, and I know everyone wanted to write off Chaz Green because he got a cramp today in practice. So, you know, but I think that they are going to let that kind of, you know, play out a little bit more and then see how it ends up. Like I said, Cooper is definitely, he's done a better job of staying patient with his punch, knowing his assignments and staying on his feet better. Before he had a problem even getting to the second level, and on his feet, and now he's at least getting to the second level, and he's getting in the way of tacklers, but he hasn't quite gotten to the point where he's getting to his targets and eliminating them. So that's kind of like the next step, but I think he's making progress there, and hopefully, you know, we'll see how that whole situation finishes out, and you know, hopefully we'll have a good solution at left guard. I mean, I think between these guys, we have a good solution at left guard and swing tackle. So I'm hopeful that no matter how it pans out, that this offensive line obviously will continue to be a strength for this team for many years to come. All right, let's talk about some defense. First thing first, you know, just to kind of, and this is sort of the big picture look, but Byron Jones is different, you know, and by different I mean better. He really has made a jump, a noticeable jump this year. He's all over the place. He's covering everybody. He's making tackles. He's you know, making tackles for loss. He's around the ball in the air. He's making plays. I mean, he just looks different. He's going to be a playmaker in this defense. He's going to be all over the back end. And I'm really, really excited to see exactly what kind of year Byron Jones has this year. But I know I kind of keep harping on it, but I think you guys should get excited for what you're about to see out of Byron Jones. There's one play that I really wanted to highlight on the defense that kind of shows you the value of a guy like Orlando Scandrick. There was a 2nd and 9. There was 3 minutes left, 3:30 left to go in the first quarter. So if you want to go back and watch this, you can. Basically, they're on the Cowboys' defense on the field. The Colts are on their own 5-yard line. It might even be inside their own 5-yard line, but basically backed up against their own end zone. Orlando's in the slot. and he's showing, well, actually what's happened is that he didn't show blitz, but they that is a hard count. And Orlando flinched, showing that he was going to blitz. The quarterback audibled out of the play, and as the quarterback audibled out of the play, Skandrick waved behind him for Byron Jones to scoot up, because basically what happens is that Skandrick was going to come in on a slot blitz, and then Jones was going to come in and take the man who he was abandoning to go to the blitz. So he was basically saying, hey, I'm coming no matter what. There's no reason to hide this. He knows it's coming. Go ahead and get in better position, and let's roll. And then what he did was he didn't quite blitz. He flattened his blitz. He showed blitz a little bit, then flattened out and got him to the throwing lane of the smoke route, which is what they audibled. So basically what happens is that the slot receiver ended up running just basically flat, straight to the sideline kind of smoke route as like the kind of a hot out of this out of the audible that they saw Skandrick blitzing. And Skandrick anticipated what they audibled into and got into the throwing lane. It was able to jump up and knock the ball and almost got an interception. But I just wanted to point it out because it's Skandrick has looked fantastic in camp so far. I mean, he looked really, really good physically. But beyond that, he's such a smart, heady player. And doing things like that really just kind of, it really illustrates to you, like, you know, he was able to show the blitz, realize that he had given up, you know, what the play was, but then tell Byron, hey, no reason to hide this anymore. You come up and get better positioning so you can do this. And then still managed to pretend like he was going to blitz, flatten off, knew that the hot route was going to be a smoke route behind him, and then get into the passing lane. It's just a guy who knows football, a guy who knows, who studied and knows what's going to happen. And I think that's why a reason you love guys like that is because when they study, they know what teams' tendencies are. They know how teams want to counteract what you're doing, and then you can counteract their counteractions, guys. That's smart football. Continuing on, obviously Jalen Smith was a huge part of the storyline for all of this. And so all eyes were on him. But I think any issues I saw with Jalen in the game had to do with knowing his fits and nothing to do with his movement, really. His progress, recovering from this has been absolutely remarkable. People want to talk about how they see the hitch and all this, and of course they do. Is he the 100% the athlete that he was before? No, I don't think he is, but he's a fantastic athlete still. He's still crushing people when he's tackling them at times, and that's what I've seen over and over again. He's discarding guards. He's hitting people very, very hard. He definitely has a huge role in this team, I think, this year. And I don't know exactly the timeline of how it all will play out, but he will be a part of this team and he will make plays for this team. I really think that he, you know, at the very least, I really think he could be great in that kind of Deacon defense, because he really can blitz because he's a big guy. He's strong and he's quick off the line. And sort of linear straight line speed is he doesn't have any problem with. And then the other option is that he drops into a shell coverage, into a zone coverage, and he could do that without a problem either. So they're going to get him on the field. They're going to find ways to get him on the field, and he'll find ways to make plays. I have no doubt at all. This team is really deep at linebacker as well. I think that was another point that I really gleaned from a lot of this, is that, you know, they have a really solid starting three, no matter who it ends up being. Let's say it is Jalen, let's shoot big and Jalen's there, and you've got a starting lineup of Sean Lee, Jalen Smith, and number 57 Wilson. That's a great starting three. And then behind them, you've got Hitchens, you've got Durant, You've got Wilbur, who will come in and make a play for you every once in a while. I mean, I really do think that and Zacha, I know, has struggled at times, but I think he's still an incredible athlete. He's going to give you a lot of things to special teams. I really do think that they've got a lot of great depth at the linebacker spot. I love where the team is in that spot right now. He didn't get to play a ton of snaps, but I really love what Paya has shown. It's kind of confirming what we've seen in camp. I think him and Malik Collins combined together are really going to do something. I really think that those two are going to be a strong inside duo. They're going to push pockets. They're going to get sacks. I think that they are going to really make a difference this year in a way that maybe we haven't had that in previous years. I mean, I really like Terrell McClain. I think Paya could be that and more. I'm really, really excited to see what these two do together. And I think that, you know, Collins is going to be markedly better. The way he finished the season last year was unbelievable for a rookie defensive tackle. So I'm really excited to see where he goes from here. I know some people are patient with him and don't see it, but I'm really excited about Charles Tapper. I think he's growing every single week. I think the thing that makes me excited is that I feel like when it's all said and done, he could be an incredibly well-rounded defensive end for this system. I mean, I already think he is an asset in the run game and on stunts and twists and line slants because of his just natural power and quickness. I think he can do those things immediately. I think where he still needs to, you know, clean up is he's still studying as a pass rusher, still learning when to throw moves and when to throw counter moves. But one thing, you know, he can use to his advantage is that because he has strong hands, he can snatch. He can, you know, he can get around people that way. I really like, you know, he isn't getting sacks as a straight rusher yet, but I really do think he will get there with his current trajectory, you know, plus his physical talent. I think he has the skills to pay the bills, guys. No, I think he has the skills to do the job and do it well and come in here. And I don't know if he's going to be a 10-sack guy necessarily. I mean, I think if he fully develops his skill set, he absolutely could be. But I think at the very least, what you're going to get out of him is a 7-9 sack guy who is also incredibly good in the run as well. So I think he could easily become that just based on where he is now and his work ethic. He really does impress me a lot, and I'm excited about him. Guys, that's about it for this episode. We're going to come back a little bit later in the week, and we'll discuss the preview of the dress rehearsal game versus the Oakland Raiders. It's going to be a great test. I mean, just on both sides of the ball, both these two teams are contenders and have a lot of talent on both sides of the ball, so we really are going to get a great opportunity to kind of see where we are as a team. So we'll be back a little bit later in the week to discuss that. Make sure you're checking out FanRackSports.com throughout the week for updates on other teams and the Cowboys as well, transactions, that sort of thing. And make sure you follow me on Twitter, at McCoolBTB. That's at MCCOOLBTB. And until then, happy trails, everybody.